Oh my. So today is November 9th, 2023 is the date stamp. We are in Divine Alchemy, and oh my gosh, we are off and running with bloopers already. And if I had been recording from the beginning of this, you guys certainly would have had a good laugh because I went to hit the record button and I ended up ending the meeting for all of us, which was not my intention, but it just goes to show you the type of energies that are at play. And part of this part of the reason that that happened, not that I can't make mistakes, because I'm human, still human, is that these energies that we're in right now are really creating tremendous expansion for all of us. Okay. And you might be noticing it yourself, severe pain in the body along the spine, the neck, the shoulders, your head, the crown area. It started about a week ago for me, and how I knew something was going on was I was crocheting a new project. And after doing probably about five or six rows, all of a sudden I looked up at, I don't know if I looked at my phone or I looked at something else, and my vision was double. And I was like, oh, that's not good, right? And so as I had, it's called diplopia, as I had the double vision, I recognized that there was a problem and I needed to stop crocheting, because something was taking place with me. And I needed to really just tune in and be present for that. The next thing I knew, I had a slight headache behind my left eye. And then within the next hour, it moved into the temple and my eye. And then about an hour after that, it was both eyes. And like literally, I couldn't see. So I knew automatically I'm going through an upgrade. I knew this was not a byproduct of the crocheting or anything like that. It had to do with an upgrade that was taking place. I felt the energy shift. That morning when I woke up, I remembered that night as I was settling into bed, and we're all doing this, we're all feeling it, we're all experiencing it. As I was settling into bed, I could feel the energies coming in blasting, like really heavy duty. And it was just nonstop. And it was just like greater than I've ever experienced before, because this is taking place every single night for all of us. However, the difference is that sometimes if the frequencies aren't in their heightened state, it's not going to feel intensified, right? And depending on the type of energy coming in, it might not feel intensified. Right now, we have a lot of gamma coming in. So we're seeing a lot of people getting sick. I don't know if any of you are noticing that, but a lot of people are getting sick. COVID is on the rise again, right? And really what it is it's not COVID, it's the body's immune system kicking in, kicking up, kicking out whatever it is that is still being held on to as a distortion in the field. Okay. So it's really super, super important for us to have an awareness of everything that is taking place as we are interacting with all of these frequencies on a regular basis. Okay. So we have to pay attention. We need to be present. We need to be feeling into what we're feeling at night. If we're feeling any kind of discomfort, tune in. You all have the ability to do that. Okay. You don't need me or anybody else telling you that there is something going on out there, right? You don't need me or anybody else telling you that that there's been a shift in frequencies. An indication that there is shifting taking place is a planetary change, right? A planetary action. Some kind of planet consciousness is shifting. And you will see that whether or not you participate in any, if you are participating in any astrology, sites or anything like that on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else, right? It does not matter. You're going to know that energy is shifting merely by the fact that we are having a new moon and a full moon. So when a new moon comes in, you know there's a shift in energy. What does that mean? There's a shift in consciousness, right? When a full moon comes in, is a shift in energy, is a shift in consciousness. When we see a new moon comes in, it means it's bringing something new into the picture, or it's spotlighting something new. Not as strongly as a solar eclipse would, but it's still spotlighting something new. There's a new shift, a new change, and usually with a new moon, we're going into a new sign. And now we're migrating into the sign of Scorpio, because that's the next sign, right, in the astrological wheel that we are moving into. So when we look at this, when we look at the new moon, you don't really have to know a whole lot about it. You just have to know that there is some new energy coming in. And then you tune to that energy and say, what am I feeling? Right? Same thing with the full moon. When we have a full moon coming in, you can say for the full moon, something is being transitioned, something is being shifted so that we have a clearer picture of what we need or are needing to see in our lives on the outer reality and on the inner reality, outside in the external world and internal to us in the reality that we live in. Okay. So now, on I think it's the 13th, we have a new moon that will be highlighted. Today is the 9th. We have a new moon in 4 days that's going to be highlighted in the sign of Scorpio. Scorpio is a very intuitive sign, but it's also full of secrets. It's also full of dark spots, right? Things that are hidden behind the scenes. That's just how the sign operates. It could be a very introverted sign, keeps a lot of stuff in. Keeps a lot of stuff internal, doesn't share a lot, okay? But it's very intuitive in its nature. So when we have a new moon in Scorpio, we're going to see the sun, we're going to see this new moon be highlighted, and stuff may come to the surface in our personal lives that we may not have been aware of, or we are aware of, and then we go, aha, look at that. I knew it. Right? Or it's going to be stuff in the external that's going to come to light that we're going to be like, oh, that's interesting. Right? Or maybe, oh, I knew that. And now it's being brought to the light and it makes perfect sense. Okay. So it and at the same time, because Scorpio is very intuitive, it's also going to be amplifying intuition. So very interestingly, it's in perfect timing with the codes that are coming in to clean up the immune system. And that's what gamma does. Gamma cleans up the immune system. Okay. So it's important for us to have an awareness to what energies that we're playing in. So last week, when the codes activated for me, I didn't get sick. That's not what happened, right? Because my immune system is really good and I've done so many years. From like 2000 to now, so 23 years of working through my immune system issues, my nervous system issues, shifting my foods and my dietary needs and all that kind of stuff, really supporting myself, sleep, all of that sort of stuff. Okay. So it won't make me sick, but it will impact me in a place of my own personal expansion. That will happen through things like a headache, a neck ache, a back ache. Right now, the spine is being activated. Body aches and pains all throughout the body. Okay. In such a serious way, you may think like, oh my God, I slept wrong last night. My whole body is killing me. My neck hurts me. My back hurts me. My lower spine hurts me. And you can go for all the body work you want. You can go roll out on a foam roller. You can go for massage. You can go for acupuncture. You can go for everything that you want to throw your money at. But I'm telling you, when these codes come in like this and they create this extreme through the body, there's nothing that's going to help it. I've been through this for 23 years. There's nothing going to help it. You have to do a really good job of talking your body through it. Hey, we could do this. Well, let's integrate these codes faster. Let's take care of this faster. Let's manage this energy faster. And you're telling it in such a way that you're not asking it, hey, could we integrate these codes? No, you're commanding it. Let's integrate these codes now. Let's do this faster. Let's take care of this. Every breath I take is not just a breath in my lungs. It's going to be a breath throughout my whole body. If our body, if our skin can take things in through osmosis, then our skin is also breathing at the same time our lungs is breathing. No? Yeah, that's how it works. Okay. But we're not told this. We're not given this information, right? So when we're in this state, when we have these conditions where we may be glitchy with, a headache here or a neck ache, or like I have been, my eyes have been impacted like tremendously. My head, my crown. When you hear your heartbeat in your head, and I know that we all have occasion to hear that, right? But when you hear your heart beating in your head, that is consciousness expanding. Okay, it's consciousness expanding. So instead of panicking and getting upset about it, what do you need to do? Nurture. Sit down, shut down whatever it is that you're doing, and nurture yourself. Pull yourself in. Take time to go within. Make that time. Okay, it's very, very important to do that and to hold that awareness that we need to nurture ourselves. We need to take care of ourselves. Okay, because the first thing that happens is we let the human in charge of our well-being, and the human goes, oh my God, we're dying. We're dying. We have a headache and it's banging and it's booming and my heart is beating in my head. There must be something wrong with my heart. There must be something wrong here, right? The body is very receptive to our commands. So if we can get ourselves under control and get our human out of the way, then our higher self can step in and literally guide us and show us what we need to do. Because in that moment that you get yourself under control, you may perceive yourself as needing a glass of water. And then you'll say, but I don't feel thirsty. Go have the glass of water, because that's your higher self telling you you need to drink something because you're dehydrated, but maybe you're not aware of the sign. Okay. So we have to do a really good job of paying attention, tuning in, and making sure that we are present so that we're participating from the highest place within us and we're not creating more of a problem in our body when our body is already trying to assimilate all of these frequencies. Okay. So right now on the planet, we're healing responsibility. I've talked about it in the past, probably the past year and a half, maybe 2 years. I've talked about responsibility, but now it's like if we haven't done the job of releasing and letting go of the responsibility that we feel for everybody else, for everything else, right? Even as a light worker, putting information out there or making sure your clients or your students or anything else are okay, right? And then you feel that constant need, that constant pressure behind you. It could be for your family, right? I'm talking in any sense, on all levels, impacted where we're not feeling like we're doing enough to help manage people, to keep people safe, or to make people happy, or to make people comfortable. It's gonna come out in your body. I, through this last couple of months, have been healing the responsibility that I came in with in my soul blueprint that I contracted for and now have to release. I have to let it go. And it's part of this shift that I'm going through, which is why I am not broadcasting the energy updates anymore like I used to on my page, because it's not really a part of my responsibility anymore. There are enough new light workers, new star seeds coming into the picture that are doing that broadcast, right? Now my job is changing. My job is to assist and support, uplift, and amplify the divine feminine. Empower, self-empower the divine feminine. Now, I've done a little bit of that throughout all the work that I've done, but now it's becoming very, very clear that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's the direction I'm supposed to be heading in, right? And I have more and more people coming to me for business mentoring, for helping, for help with their business. Okay. And so it's starting to shift. And I'm seeing it in the work that I'm putting out on my YouTube channel, bringing more healing type work to YouTube to help support the collective instead of coming out with the energy updates, because there's enough people doing those and I don't have to do those anymore. I'm being relieved of that. And what does that feel like for me? Well, it came out in my right shoulder. And of course, the right shoulder is where we burden the responsibility, right? The right side is all about moving forward. So for almost 2 weeks, I was incapacitated with my right arm. I couldn't lift my right arm up. I couldn't extend it. I couldn't crochet. I was like pretty crippled in this right arm as these codes were needing to release. And so it just was necessary for me to not play into any kind of fear that there was something wrong with my arm, because what was needed was me to rest and just allow for myself to be a good receiver to what is. Okay. And you will each be going through something that's going to ask you to be letting go of something, releasing something. It might be a responsibility. I know some of you have already had that. Some of you had a problem with your right arm. And now the energy should feel like they're subsiding again. But this is how this works. And it's going to come up because the codes are shifting. The neurological system is being rewired and reworked. And, you know, imagine it this way, right? We're stepping up our game, needing to come into higher states of consciousness, which means that we need to access higher bits of information, wherever those bits of information exist, right? And so it's like computer technology within us, receiving a new computer program or new computer technology, right? That needs to be upgraded and updated. And sometimes it doesn't happen easily. Sometimes it happens in a more challenging way than we would like it to be. And sometimes it happens where there's a little bit of pain in the body. Okay. But the more we can get okay with that pain being in the body and not freak out over it, the better it's going to be for us, the easier it's going to be for us, where we're going to experience it much faster and it can move through the body much more quickly. Okay. So it's very important for us to start paying attention to these shifts in energy, especially following the moon shifts. Okay. Because it's going to be an indicator for us of energy changing. Regardless of what you know about astrology, it does not matter. What you're going to know from it is, look, we have a new moon coming in. There's going to be some kind of shift in energy, right? And so we're going to feel a little bit of it the week before, and then definitely through the 2 week period until we get to the full moon. And then through that moon, we're going to feel it again, and probably until a little bit into the following week. Okay. Now, what I will tell you is, with this shift in the moon frequency that's coming in, because we are coming into Scorpio. Okay, so it's going to be highlighted through the new moon. And remember, new moons you cannot see in the sky. A new moon you will not see. You'll only see a full moon. Okay, and so with this new moon energy in the sign of Scorpio, some of what we're going to experience over the course of the next 2 weeks is going to be positive coming in from this new moon in Scorpio. But because there's other players, planetary players that are also playing in the mix, there's going to be some chaotic energies coming in. Okay. Now, we've talked about the climate with regard to the planet for a while, and you know that this is going to play on and play out for a little bit longer, right? It's not going to come to a fast, swift conclusion. And we may have some kind of trigger moment where something may happen that could trigger us and make us like fearful in some way, shape, or form. But I want to say it's on the outer reality. Okay. And the most important thing that is important for us to have an awareness of is to not hold emotion to the triggers. And this is what we're going to talk about today in this class when we talk about soul contracts. Okay. Not holding the emotion to the triggers that are presenting. And the reason we don't want to do that is because we want to hold an awareness to the fact that for the most part, we are always in control of what is taking place in our reality. And from a higher perspective, the more we can detach the emotion to what is, the easier it is for us to have the experience and move through it with divine grace and ease, as opposed to pain and suffering. Okay. So, probably, most likely, November and December are probably going to continue to feel challenging, right? Because when we get into January's energy, the end of January, when we kick off the Age of Aquarius codes, things are going to shift. So things might seem different, right? And the less you're paying attention to what's out in the outer reality, the more it's going to go away. Okay. And I will tell you, like, I don't pay attention to it at all. I'll see it, but I don't give emotion to it. I don't feel anything to it. There's no tie-in to it. There's no fear. Oh, look what happened. Oh my God, that's so scary, right? I don't feel any of that. So it doesn't feel like any of it is really happening for me because I don't feed into it. I don't pull into it. Now, that's not to say that somewhere through my soul blueprint or soul contract that, I couldn't interact with it in some way, shape, or form if it was something that I needed for my experience being me, right? And so in that moment, I might have to experience it just to be a witness to what is. Now, I was out and about on Sunday for about an hour, and I saw, four military helicopters flying across the island. And so I looked up and I heard the noise first, and then I saw them, and I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting. And then I recognized that they were headed towards the Long Island Expressway, which runs all the way into the city, and that'll run all the way down the coastline. And I thought, well, that's very interesting because that is sure to provoke anyone who is holding fear. And as Beth and I were talking about it, I said, be prepared when you get back into work again, because she was off. How people might be responding to this, especially if people saw any of this or heard any of it, or it was on the news in any way, shape, or form, just so that we can be better prepared in dealing with it, because somebody else coming into our reality, engaging with us, could be bringing a fair amount of chaos that might need to be transmuted. So if we're not paying attention, in our field, we may be picking up that unconscious energy and then bringing that home with us, which kind of was what happened last night. And I'll get to that in a minute. And so it's important to have an awareness to what is, right? We don't want to not see it because we have to see it to know what is taking place. But we want to understand from the emotional perspective 3D matrix is collapsing. It is done. It's in its finale. It cannot sustain anymore. It can't hold on any longer. Okay. And it has to go away. It has to collapse and implode in some way, shape, or form. And we're going to see it across everything that we're doing, right? You might want to check out Diana's post that she wrote about the school system. Very, very powerful. It was a powerful observation that she had in that post, how the school system needs to be reformed, right? We can look at the government and see the government needs to be reformed. It doesn't work anymore. We can look at the banking system and see it needs to be reformed. It doesn't work anymore, right? We can look at it from many different perspectives. We can't even, put anything on a credit card these days unless you pay it off in full because the interest rates are obscene. I mean, completely obscene, right? When you're talking about 24.99%, that sounds better than 25%, right? Because the 25% is really like the smack in the head that goes like, oh my God, that's 25% of my purchase. And if I purchased something for $100, I'm paying $25 in interest just not to pay it off in the first month. Like, I would not be okay with that. Right. But people don't have an awareness to that because 24.99 sounds better. And of course, they do that intentionally as a distraction so that you're not going to be dissuaded, right? You're not going to stop using your credit card because you're not even thinking of it because it says 24.99. You might not put together in your head that that's actually 25%, right? It's a 0.01% difference. So, but this is the game that's played, right? And it's up to us to see through the illusion so that we're not playing that game in the outer reality here. So, it's very important to understand this, that we want to see it. We want to be a witness to it. We want to be a witness to when other people are at their worst and they can't cope. They don't have coping skills or their coping mechanism is broken. And we have to be okay to what is, especially with them, because they're trying their best. They don't know what you know. They don't know what we know. And if we can hold that space for them in the highest place within us, we're going to do a better job navigating our reality, regardless of what happens with them, because it's not our job to shift them. We can hold that space and that energy for them, but it's up to them to do the work, like we're all doing the work, right? So, but remember that regardless of anything, there are things that we have chosen in our soul blueprint, our soul contracts that will give us an experience that we are meant to have in order for us to maybe wake up or make a change or make a shift. For me, it was cancer. First time completely woke me up. And I was like, I'm never, ever doing this again, right? Whatever that was. And then I'm giving you the short version of it so we don't, get into the long end of me. And then the second time it came back and I was like, okay, all right, this is not good. What did I miss? Right. And then I put on my Dick Tracy investigator, right? And then I still couldn't find it. And then I went to Sherlock Holmes and I was like, all right, let me get my magnifying glass out and scour everything, right? Because I know I missed something. And it was this process of discovery to see what am I missing that this came back a second time? Because I know there's a reason for it. And when we tune in, we can tell, am I meant to depart from this? Like, is that the reason? Like, am I supposed to experience that part of this? In 99% of the cases, I'm going to tell you the answer to that is no. But what happens is the human gets so fearful that they'll depart just because they think that that's what's supposed to happen, right? But that's not always what's supposed to happen. 99% of the time, they're supposed to move through it and have an experience to learn something from it to make a shift. Okay. So, what if for whatever that reason is, right? Somebody could fall down the steps and have a crazy concussion, right? And they'll say, what the heck was the purpose of me falling down the steps and having a concussion? And, I might look at them and say, well, the universe needed to keep you still because you weren't willing to sit back and let yourself just be in order to receive the codes. And having fallen down the stairs, now you're on bed rest for a month and you can't go anywhere. And your brain is being rewired through the rest and also through the medical stuff that's taking place with you because the codes had to come in somehow, right? But to the average person, it's going to look like, well, they fell down the stairs because they weren't paying attention or whatever. Yeah, they weren't paying attention and they fell down the stairs. But again, it's the only way that they could get the universe could get their attention and get them to sit still, right? Sometimes there's a bigger purpose for what is taking place. Or maybe, you're in a relationship and the relationship is one of those relationships that tests you on occasion, more than enough on occasion. And you have had thoughts, I should leave. This is ridiculous. Why does he keep doing this? Or why does she keep doing that? Right. But yet you don't leave. Right. But then something happens. And let's say you're in a car accident. You're in a car accident. You get incapacitated. Now you're on bed rest. And they have to take care of you. They have to take care of the kids. And it's not good. None of it is good. You're being incapacitated and being injured and being in that accident didn't trigger a love response from them. It triggered more narcissism from them, where they're not happy about the situation because now it's not focused on them and they have to take care of you and they have to take care of everything else, right? That accident happened so you could gain that clarity and insight and see that so that you would make the decision to leave and say, oh my God, what am I still doing here? It's never going to change. They're never going to change. Because a relationship like that, anytime we're in a situation where it's not a good situation, and there's this push-pull between us and the other that we're in the relationship with, is because it's a karmic relationship. It's karmic in nature. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to stay with this person. Karmic relationships come together to learn something or have an experience to grow some to grow with, right? And we could say it's the same thing for situations like we're seeing playing out with the war or anything else. People have engaged in direct participation, direct contact with that, right? Anybody that is directly relating to that, and I know someone whose cousin is in the Israeli army and she had an experience where her commander and the first lieutenant or something got blown up in a bomb explosion. And my client is, all distraught for her cousin, worried about his safety and everything, and said, why would that happen? And, I said, because her soul contract needs her to be in that position, whatever it is that she came in to do, whatever she chose. We don't always know unless we actually go into the soul contract and see what the experience was. Right. And so we would have to look at the soul contract, but also look at what is playing out over there. It's about rights. It's about freedom. Right. And it's about not playing into repression, heavy repression. So one would say is, well, maybe that individual's soul had many, many lifetimes where, they were a commander in charge and blew up other countries or something. And now they have to play the back end of it and they have to experience the other side of it, right? This is why we can't judge any of it because we don't know what everybody is going through, right? So when it comes back into our reality and we're dealing with something that is feeling overwhelming, we can sit with what is taking place. But from a detached place within us. In other words, if something is happening or something coming up, we want to give attention to it. We want to acknowledge it. We could even talk about it. But the most important part of it is not to fester in the emotion of it. As a matter of fact, if you could do it without getting into the emotion of it at all, That would be the best way to handle it, is to look at it from the observer perspective. Because then what happens is you're free it from your field. You're freeing it with detachment to it, right? You're acknowledging it. We're not saying you have to like it. We're not saying that at all. But you're acknowledging it from an observer, from the observer's standpoint. Okay. And so how that might look is, last night Beth came home from work. She gets home late, Wednesday and Thursday, very late nights for her, like 8 o'clock, whatever. So she ate and then she did her stuff, whatever. I was sitting on the sofa doing some crocheting. And so she came in and I said, "So how's your day? Like, how'd the day go?" And she was like, "Oh, people are a mess." And I was like, "Yep, well, that's to be understood with everything that's, playing out, and then these energies, and we're about to come into this full moon, and it's going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we're going to have a little good, we're going to have a little bad, and then there might be some ugly, and that's the way it's going to be. And we have to be okay with that. Mostly what we need to do is focus on the good." And then the focusing on the good makes the diminishment, the lessening of the bad and the ugly, that much more. So we can lessen the impact of it or the effect of it if we're focusing on what's good and we're not focusing on the negative. The human consciousness wants to focus on the negative. It is bred to do that. It's how we come into the karmic loop of the 3D cycle that we have always played in. And the soul has been conditioned and trained to focus on the negative through all of the soul lifetimes that you have experienced being the soul. It's just the way that this works, right? So it's almost like we don't know any different. And it's this level of consciousness that we engage in that we're not even having an awareness to us engaging in it, because if we're not present with our thoughts, and then we're not doing something like sitting quietly for a second and go, "I wonder what my next thought's going to be. I wonder what I'm going to think next." And then you're waiting and waiting and waiting because nothing comes, because you've broken the successive daisy chain of unconscious thoughts. And that's what's happened, right? So you break that daisy chain of unconscious successive thoughts. So when you look at how we have been conditioned, it's natural to be conditioned or focused on what is negative. Now, I am not saying that if we focus on the positive or the good things in life, it's only going to be good and positive and life is going to be easy peasy. But what I am saying is that when we do focus on the positive and we stay in a higher vibrational alignment, we can then match up with those things that are in that higher vibrational alignment that would bring us more delight and joy, okay, than something that is not going to bring us delight and joy because we're focused on the negative of it. And that's where the work is. That's where it's important for us to manage ourselves and see everybody coming into our reality is playing out a part of our illusion, whether we're aware of it or not. And then we have to ask ourselves, why are we still engaging with this if this is not making us feel good? Let's amplify our state of being. Let's amplify our sense of empowerment, our self-empowerment, and move ourselves along. If you're staying in a situation because there's money, or you're staying in a situation because in that situation you think you feel more freedom, or if you're staying in a situation because you don't think there's anywhere else for you to be or anything else for you to go, you're playing into the illusion of the outer reality, because that's all a lie, right? But that's the stories that we tell ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better about staying stuck. Okay. So Beth comes home and we're having this conversation, and it's very challenging for her to see her clients like in complete chaos. Everyone is sick. Everybody's got something going on with their health, a lot of negative stuff with their health. A lot of people coming in sick this week. That's another thing. People are going to present as being sick with COVID or colds or sinus infections and stuff like that, because of these frequencies that we're playing in and the gamma working through the immune system. It's working through the nervous system and the immune system. Okay, so it taxes both of them. But as we were having this conversation, I was feeling myself get all jazzed up about something. I can't even remember what it was, but it was like this escalation of energy that was coming in. And I could feel my energy change as I'm having this conversation with her. And so I was like, yeah, and blah, blah, blah. I forget what I said, but I said something. And then I said, you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? And she was like, oh, yeah. She was like, I'm seeing that, you know, playing out every day, whatever. And at the moment I said it and it was out of my mouth and I felt the energy to it, but I did not take it in. In other words, I was not having the experience emotionally of that energy or what I was talking about. And within a second after it was out of my mouth, I turned to her and I looked at her and I said to her, well, that was very interesting because I feel like I just discharged whatever energy you came in with, whatever you might have picked up, right? And remember, I'm here in the house all day. It's all day. It's my energy, right? So this is actually my energy field. So the house actually breathes and heartbeats with me, right? Because I'm here all day. It's my energy field. So anybody coming into this energy field, if they need to be uplifted or they need a charge to their energy, they might come in and they might feel a little dizzy coming in, right? Because my energy field in this house is shifting them, right? It's realigning them and they may feel a little dizzy until their field settles down. So same thing, she walked in with this energy that she needed to discharge. And because my field does it so readily without me having to even think about it or without me having to say to her, hey, do you want to talk? So, you know, we can get you to discharge whatever you took in today, whatever. It just happened, boom, automatically. And within a second, it was over. And like now I couldn't really remember what it was that I talked about. And then I said to her, I was like, well, that was fast and painless, you know, because there's no haggling it. There's no crying about it. There's no feeling sad about it. There's, you know, you're emotionally detached from what is. And this is how we need to operate in our day-to-day experience and see what is presenting. How come they're presenting this way? What is it that I need from this? How will I benefit from this interaction? Because now I'm seeing it with greater clarity as it's playing out right in front of me. So how can I benefit from this as opposed to taking it in and then making it about me? And it's not about me. It's about gaining clarity or insight from something that maybe I need to shift, right? Without the emotional attachment. And this is where we can get stuck in the outer reality if we're, you know, talking to those who are still wanting to play out the inner child work where we have to feel every emotion and we have to cry every emotion out. And for some, that might be true. For some people, that might be true. But for a majority of us that are already doing the work, that are in the work a while, that's not going to be our truth. Because we'll be able to have an awareness to it and move on, right? So a lot of times in the past, I used to think like, what's wrong with me? Because I'm not getting overly emotioned to this, whatever it is that I am experiencing. And I used to think that that was something that was wrong with me. Like that was strange. Like I'm not having emotion to it. I'm understanding it. I'm seeing it. I'm negotiating it. I'm like, oh yeah, I see it. Okay. Uh-huh. I've got a shift. Yep. Okay. That just stinks, but whatever. We're going to make it through. We're going to do this, right? And I used to think there was something wrong with that. And then I realized, no, That's the perspective of source consciousness. That's the perspective of the source within us, right? We don't have to have an emotion to it. We can stand on the line of divine neutrality and be neutral to what is, not taking a side here and not taking a side there. And that's where we have to be with all things, especially if we want to engage in being able to understand soul contracts at play, right? And how we're operating through our connection with others and those soul contracts in our life. Because everybody in our reality, no matter who it is, no matter if they come in for just a second, even if it's a clerk in a store, right? You see them once, you go into the store again, you never see them ever again. They were there to interact in that moment, just for that moment, because we needed to interact with something in that connection, whatever it is. Okay. So it's really important for us to now, more than ever, sharpen our alignment within ourselves and let go of the old work from the old 3D reality that says that we have to take it in, we have to emote it, we have to sit and cry about it, we have to sit and feel. If you're not feeling it, you're beyond it. You've moved beyond it. Don't force yourself to sit and feel it. We need to look at something. So the other day, I had stopped following this guy in Canada who has a ranch out there and, you know, has a bunch of horses and stuff like that. Because what I recognized was I was watching a TV show on Instagram. That's all it was, right? And occasionally I would like to see him and like to see the horses because he lives off grid. So he's got no electricity, right? He has a washer and a dryer that's in a shed, like a little cabin off the house. It's not even attached to the house. And he has to charge the generator in order to run the washer and dryer. You know, so it was like, for me, it was fascinating to see all of this stuff as somebody that would like to have a homestead and would like to be, you know, somewhat off grid. I don't know if that might be a little too much off grid for me, but I don't know. We could try it and see. You know, I'm down for anything. And so I found like it to be interesting until I was noticing that like every other month, you know, horse would get injured and then he would, you know, start a GoFundMe page and he was looking for funds for this, for funds for that. And then there was a horse where, you know, in my humble opinion, because I've worked with horses many, 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 many years, but in my early years, and being tuned into horses, this horse, in my opinion, was colicking, which is what it turned out to be. And it turned out to be a colon impactment, right? Like an impacted colon. And I knew this and I was watching and I had made a comment and whatever, and it didn't get a like, it didn't get anything from it, right? Right. From the people. And then I watched this whole thing play out and this horse died in my way, like a horrific death. It wasn't even euthanized. It died in the trailer at the vet's. It's just hard to watch that. You know, I've worked with horses for many years and it's just very hard to see something where I felt like it could have been presented. But I oftentimes think that when I see stuff like that, I do have an awareness and a realization to the fact that what is happening there in that reality out there is that it's feeding the lower 3D distortion of pain and suffering for those that still need to play out the pain and suffering. And so when I looked at it, I could see that it was feeding them money every time something happened with the horse. And from the funds that came pouring in because that horse passed, and so, I mean, it was days of watching this horse suffer and struggle, they were able to build a barn. Now they're able to build all of these things because they had hundreds of thousands of dollars donated to them, you know? So when I realized this, I stopped tuning into him and I stopped watching because I'm like, this is not something I need to participate in. I don't need the 3D because I do know that these animals have a soul contract also That horse had a sole contract to play out exactly as it played out for everybody that was involved, that everybody that still needs to reach into their heart, that still needs to connect with that emotional aspect of themselves. And this is what happens, right? And then, for me, I didn't need that anymore. And then the other day, I went to answer something in my Instagram, and the first post that popped up was another horse that had to be euthanized because something happened to the back tendon or something like that. And I felt the emotion come up. I felt a tear, and then it was completely over. And I was like, wow, that was really fast. And then I went out of Instagram. I answered my student's email, my message, and then I went out of Instagram. But a lot of times this will happen so that we can have that moment, the soul connecting on a level to help us get to that next level, whatever it is. So maybe there was something with me that was still in judgment of this guy in Canada that I needed to fully heal. And when I saw this with the horse, I didn't have, there was nothing. Right. I was completely void of judgment of him. And I was just like, oh my, that's so sad, and just let it be what it is, like not holding him in judgment. So it helped me clear something in my field. So every single being, entity, animal, whatever it is, will interplay with us in some way, shape, or form via a soul contract for us to have some kind of experience to continually up level ourselves, because you have to remember our soul is here to learn, right? Our soul is here to learn and have an experience. That's why I always say there really is no such thing as, the perfect experience. Are we gonna get it right, perfectly right in this lifetime? No, but we're working on trying to get it as good as we possibly can get it and make it as positive experience as we can, which is why when we stay present and we're tuned in and we can do things like see what the contract is that's presenting between us and another person, then it can make that situation such a powerful experience for us because we're so tuned into what is instead of going into judgment right away. Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions? I know I've been talking for an hour straight. I haven't let anybody in. Does anybody have any questions or anything you want to ask about? No? Okay. So it's very important for us to have this awareness. The more we can reach down, go deep within, and allow ourselves to experience everything in our life from a place of non-judgment, allowing us to be able to negotiate whatever it is, it will expand us in ways that we cannot get expanded any other way. We cannot expand our consciousness without these experiences. We just can't. In other words, if you were in the North Pole by yourself, all alone in the cold tundra, right? And you were meditating every day, yes, you're going to get to a certain place of enlightenment, but maybe the way you wrote your soul contract is not to be in that place in the North Pole all by yourself in order to expand into enlightenment. Maybe your soul wrote it that you need to have these experiences along the way with many people in order to keep growing and to have this expansion happen, right? The first person that we usually judge in a situation is going to be ourselves. It's always going to be ourself, okay? Even on the small things, how we're looking, how we're going to show up, what we're wearing, all kinds of ways. All right. Back in the day, I was thinking about this the other day as I was looking at my promo pictures, that's on like my website and my Instagram and stuff, where it's me and I'm sitting with my what the heck is it called? I don't know, my throw over, my tunic, whatever it is, right? And sarong wrap, whatever you want to call it. And I have my spiritual baubles on and everything. And I was kind of laughing as I was looking at that picture, and I was like, yeah, I was like, wow, I am so far removed from who I was in that moment, because here I am, I showing up in my flannel shirt, and people don't understand that part of me sometimes, where like, yeah, I'm going to show up in my flannel shirt. Why would I do that? You might not know. You might not know. And I might not feel inclined to say it on, a regular, but I'll share this with you. I'm showing up in the flannel because I am working hard at manifesting my homestead. I want the goats in the backyard. I want the donkey. I want the horse. I want the, I don't know. I don't know. I might have a chicken or two. I don't think I'm gonna have a lot, but I might have a chicken or two. But it's not for me. I don't really care what somebody else is gonna think about me. I'm gonna show up presenting in the way that I need to energetically for me, because I have a goal, right? And I need to embody what it is that I want to bring into my life. And if I'm not embodied in that, it can't possibly show up for me. It just can't. So I could sit here and I could throw on my spiritual garb, which I have a lot of, right? And my spiritual jewelry, and put all that stuff on, and come and face you and be the part of the spiritual guru, right? Or I could come and present to you as me, and you might be like, wow, that she's just like me, right? If I had somebody new in the community that was watching that said, wow, she's just like me, because she's showing up in flannel, and that's okay, right? Because we don't have to dress any particular way. So we need to show up for ourselves. We need to stop judging ourselves, and we need to allow ourselves to have the experience that we're having now. I also saw another story. I don't know if I got to like it or not, because I was in such a hurry, but I read it and I might have bounced off of it because somebody was looking for something from me, but I'm going to mention it anyway. So I this morning, as I was going on, I was making a story post, right? And then I read something that Jill posted. And so when I was looking at it, what caught me is that she had a picture of herself in a pair of jeans, that she was taking a picture in the mirror of herself in this cute pair of jeans, right? And what caught me about that was that she was saying that they had been in her online store, for, I think it's Poshmark, for a while. They didn't sell, and then the jeans were calling to her, and then she thought, no, I've got to sell them, and then they called to her again, and then she finally put them on, and she let herself have the moment and the experience with the jeans, and then actually decided she was going to keep them and wear them out in public. And then what happened? The jeans attracted people to her, asking her about her jeans and where she got her jeans. Well, had she not listened in that moment and put on those jeans, she would not have maybe had that interaction with two people who she could now push toward her shop so that they could shop in her shop, right? But maybe those jeans were not meant to be in her shop, because those jeans needed to be worn for exactly that moment. And maybe those two people will never shop in Jill's shop, but maybe they will tell somebody else about the cute jeans that they saw in her shop. And they will say, yeah, it's this woman who has a shop in here, and it's Poshmark or whatever, and give the name, and they will go shop in the shop, right? So the most important thing that we can do is pay attention. Pay attention to what's taking place in our reality, and not judge whether we're doing something good, bad, right, or wrong, right? Wearing the jeans, oh geez, look at that. I wore them out, and now, here's two people that would have bought them had they been sitting in my store. Yes, but the other side of it is if you hadn't have worn them, you wouldn't have interacted with those two people. So the jeans were doing exactly what they came into your life to do, right? But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we don't have that awareness because we're too focused on something else. Now, I'm not saying Jill didn't have the awareness or she was too focused on something else, but I'm merely showing you how even something so simple as a pair of jeans could bring something else to the table that we may not know. And because of the way that the universe works, that we're not privy to all the time, right? The way that the universe works is for that person to tell someone, and that person will tell someone, and someone, and someone, and someone, and someone, and someone, and someone. And the next thing you know, there's 10 new people shopping in your store, and you weren't even prepared for that. But if you hadn't worn those jeans, that would have never happened, right? So I think the first thing that we have to do is to stop judging ourselves, because one of the things that we don't understand, first and foremost, is our soul contract and what we're here for. And I think that that gets very confusing among women, especially. I mean, men too, but I think women especially, feeling that they have to, constantly do the right thing to take care of everybody or everything in their life. And it becomes a part of us that is habitual in nature and conditioned to what we have grown up with that has, been imposed on us or imprinted to us, right? And so a lot of times what comes with that is in doing the right thing, sometimes it could be even if, you don't want to make a wave, you want to go along with what is, right? And then, and you could, like I said, go read Diana's blog post and you'll see what I'm talking about. Not making a wave with what is, because you want to play along and be a team player and you think everybody else knows better than you. But when we sit into that intuition for just that moment and we can help ourselves, right? Holding ourselves accountable for having a spiritual knowledge, for having a spiritual guide, for having a spiritual assistant in the closet, right? Because technically we do. We just don't realize it all the time because we don't call on it. But if we let that spiritual assistant out of our closet every once in a while and we get the human out of the way, then that spiritual assistant, that part of us that knows, could come online and tell us what we need to do. Most of the time, we don't even realize that our only job is to be. When we start doing and we get involved in overdoing, we have a tendency to take ourselves off course. I've done that so many times in my life. I can't even tell you how many times I've done that. But in the state of being, what is needed next will just come to you. Okay. And it's all because we are already imprinted with that, with the soul contract. Now, can the soul contract be changed? Yeah, it can. And especially for what you realize or recognize that you've already gained from it, you're like, oh, I don't have to play this out anymore. Like me, the health issues, the cancer game, the Bartholin cyst, all those big health anomalies. I'm done with that, right? And I tell my body all the time, good job healing, good job. We don't need to play any of that out because it's not something I need to do anymore. Diana?
So this whole situation with, thank you for reading and supporting my work, by the way. I really appreciate that. This process that I finally actually decided to write about has truly been going on since Dylan was in pre-K. And Dylan and I always had a very rough relationship. So I feel as if this whole entire situation pulled us together because we really got through this whole entire thing as mother and son exactly the way it should have been. And I can't even explain the relief that I felt last night, sitting in that neurologist's office and saying to her what I said, and the school as well. I wasn't going to post it. I had a lot of fear, but when I hit that publish button, I said to myself, more parents, if it just sits there and a lot of people don't read it, that's not the reason why I put stuff out there. I know it'll be read by people that are meant to read it. But this is like great awareness here with what's going on inside our public school system, and it's all systems.
It's
It's
across, yeah, it's across all
across
systems.
the board.
Yeah,
So.
but on a bigger scale, you acted out your soul contract with your son through the school system, right? And now you can bring attention and awareness to through that to the outer reality. But in essence, if you think about your relationship with him and the fact that you've been in other lifetimes with him where you couldn't heal enough between the two of you in those other lifetimes to come into a place where you got to in this lifetime, I think that's the biggest part of this because the school system was merely the platform that you and he used to work through this.
I feel that so deep in my soul right now. My whole body is lighting up right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly, it's so true.
Yeah, because
So thank you.
yeah, because the outer stage is merely the school system and the way that it interacted. Now, it could you could have done it in many different ways, but he chose to come in as your son this time around, drive both of you deeper into your hearts, right? And so that connection could be made and that could be healed. So, job well done. You did that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. And that's very powerful that you were able to do that and move through it in the way that you did.
Thank you, Maria.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
you.
I appreciate you too. Yeah.
I gotta go in about 10 minutes though, but I will
Okay.
listen later.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I appreciate you being on here. I understand. So, we can. So this is a perfect example. We can see through this share with Diana that sometimes the soul will use a platform and not just what's in the household dynamic to create an opportunity for something to be healed. A lot of times when we have these very challenging relationships, let's say, with people in our lives. And a lot of times there are family members that we can't get away from. Like you can't get away from them. You have to heal that with them. It'll play out in some way on the outer stage and the outer reality so that it can bring both people back together again into a place of love, to support what is needed in working through that soul's contract, So it's very, very powerful. And when we look at soul contracts in general, we have them with everybody. And sometimes, if we have to cancel a soul contract, like I already told you about Chester, if we have to cancel that soul contract, as hard as that is, it's for them as well as for us. Because sometimes the hardest contracts that we have to cancel and we have to end those contracts. It's not just for us, but it's the release of the other person at the same time. And sometimes we don't always see that because we're fixated on how we're going to be portrayed or how we're going to be seen. Right. So again, this is where we have to let go of the judgment that we're feeling towards ourselves and allow ourselves to move on from that place so that we're not experiencing that situation in our life ever again. Okay. So very, very important because we go around with people and we can go around with many people in our lives and play out the same soul contract. And we're not even aware that we're playing out that soul contract. Many instances We're going to repeat that soul contract until we finally understand and we shift in order to take our power back, especially women. Jill?
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, hi. First of all, sorry about the interruption before. That was accidental. But I wanted to talk about a dream that I had recently. And it was such a positive dream that, and it was a high level dream, but at the same time, I think it really was me aligning with the fact that my husband has stood by me and been with me the last 4 years or so in my evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. There were, it was like a, and this sparked it in my head because we were talking about, here, I'm going to, so, where am I? I'm looking like you today. Very casual.
Uh-huh, that's okay.
So with this dream, there were tons of snakes all around, and I'm not a fan of snakes, but I know that they mean big, big things, transmutation, and a lot of good things coming. But and he was taking me home from, I was in the hospital apparently, but it's a long story. I won't go into the whole dream, but the gist of it that I got from it was, okay, so a few weeks ago, something popped into my head, and this might help someone else too. When my dad, this is going way back. When my dad passed away, I went and saw someone for grief counseling. And I mentioned the things that my father had done, you know, as a father. He was a good father, but there were some mistakes that he made.
Mm-hmm.
And she made a very poignant statement to me. And that was, well, you know, your dad did these things, but your dad was also a human being. And
mm-hmm.
it was like, what? My dad's a human being. A duh. Mm-hmm. And they're going to make mistakes sometimes. And what that did was, I sent a message to the kids because they had kind of a tough upbringing with my husband, and kind of shared that with them and said, you know, you only have a certain number of tools in your belt. You know, you when you're growing up, you only have a certain kind of toolbox, and you have these tools in here that you got from other people. And until you replace them with new tools, you're just going to use the ones that you got, and they don't always work for every situation. And I said, if you can forgive your dad for not having the right tool to help you through that situation, it's something to think about. So in that moment, I decided to forgive my husband. And it was such a poignant thing. It was like, whoa, I totally forgive him for any and all mistakes he's ever made. And so then when I had this dream, it was just, and I'm also like prone to, you know, cry at the drop of a hat these days because I'm just so grateful. But just that really released a lot of stuff, my forgiving him. And then when I had the dream, it just helped me kind of like realize how much he's always been there by me and just supporting me. And I just felt so much gratitude with that. And also with that, also helped me to forgive myself, like you were talking about. And so I had to share that because it was just such a major shift for me. And that was just like the last, within the last week or so. So I wanted to share that.
Well, you see, though you played out the soul contract with your father, picking someone similar in nature for your husband, right? And that soul contract then translated to what your kids could experience, maybe similar to what you experienced. So that's a generational imprint that is taking place there. And the bigger part of this is in the forgiving of it, you've healed it. You have healed it so that your children can have an easier job healing it and finding their own forgiveness, because actually the healing of the imprint starts with you. Okay. So they can find their forgiveness, and that soul contract can literally become null and void. And each of them and you could write a new soul agreement with your husband, right? So Adam gets to have a say so in the new agreement you do and your boys do, so that you're not playing out the dynamic of the old one, because it had to continue until it could be resolved. And now you've done that. Right. So that's another way that soul contracts work. There are certain imprints. We move in soul groups. So the soul group that you originated from had that maybe soul contract where the father energy was the bigger, heavier energy in the physical presence. And so your soul group that you move with, that you incarnate through, like mine had cancer, yours had this, has that contract in it. And now that you've healed that, you were able to have the dream that you had. But I will tell you, that was not just one dream of you being in the hospital and him taking care of you. That was, they're showing me an accordion of dreams that were rolled up into that one particular dream. That you could have an awareness to, because that's all the parallel realities that merged in that moment, but that one being the most significant. So it was the one that you would be more conscious of when you were awakening, because it then had to be put with the snake. There's a word that's escaping me, but hopefully it comes back. Associated with the snake, which is about shedding the old skin. Now, if you think about it and how the energies that we're in now are playing out in a way that is actually asking us to shed the old self, we've been doing this work the last 3 years, right? Working with these template upgrades. I would take that as a sign, if I were you, that you've had a transformation through all that is played out, and that basically that soul contract has been completed. You have gotten whatever you needed to get from it through that forgiveness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It actually does. And yeah, like I said, I'm not gonna like go into the whole details of it, but yeah, it was. I can see that it was a whole bunch of little dreams all rolled up into one.
Yeah, it's all parallel realities. So you integrated a lot of the timelines with you and Adam that wouldn't have played out in a positive way, because now you don't need to transact them.
Cool.
Do you see that?
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't need to have that transaction of them. And cool. Because of that, they were able to be wrapped up. And then just for good measure, it's like they tied the package with the snake so that you could associate it with having shed the old skin and now, you know, coming into this new skin, wearing, growing new skin.
Yeah, I like that. So, now, what about the, can I just put in another symbol as being, I mean, this was a giant swimming pool. It was like a kid's swimming pool, but it was huge, and it was in ground. It was just a culmination of a whole bunch of different ones. But
yes, yeah, so deep emotions, because a swimming pool is water. So water is always emotion. But if it's in ground, it's really deep internal emotions.
Yeah, seems like I did a lot.
Yeah, it was good stuff. But do you see how important it is to have presence, right? To be present, because when we have presence, you were able to receive what that person said about your father being human, and it struck you in that moment. And then you are able to then turn around and offer that up to your sons. And then they can make a decision as to whether or not they are ready to release their contract, right? Maybe not to the extent you did, but you're actually planting the seed for that, and that, and they will do the work behind the scenes in dream state in order to continue to shift that. Whereas you've already done that work now.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I've already seen kind of a shift in David since then. He was the one that really took it the hardest. So it was nice to see that shift.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good. Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's great. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Anybody else have any questions or anything you want to share? Yeah, this, you know, that's why we talk about this stuff, because this is where it all comes down to, right? Soul contracts are so important to have an understanding of, to have an awareness of, right? Because it's how we incarnate in here. And we, you know, we have this tendency to think that we're supposed to make something monumental of our life, right? We're supposed to, you know, do something that is like, you know, amazing. But the truth of it is, and I get this every time I check in, what we're supposed to be doing is amplifying our state of being to such a degree that we are in complete happiness and wholeness within ourselves. Because what that does is that anchors that frequency into the earth plane and helps support those who just aren't there yet. And it helps make our experience that much greater, right? But we often forget that. We don't think about that. And so it gets lost in the mix of everything else. And then we have a tendency to fall short, and then we place the blame game. And no, that's the worst thing that we can do, because really, you know, it's about being and being so happy and so content within ourselves, and allow ourselves to be led by our higher self on our path. Because when we do that, the magic is always going to happen. It's always going to happen. But we have to stop ourselves from standing in our human's perspective, because the human is built to judge, right? The spiritual self or the soul self is the one that comes in from the higher perspective that could see it from a much different place. So it's really important for us to allow ourselves to, you know, not judge the actions of somebody else. And oftentimes, and I see this happen with myself over and over and over again, when I release something, what's supposed to be or what should be or what would be in alignment for me just pops right into place. It just snaps right into place, right? But if I'm overworking it, if I'm frustrated by it, if I'm judging it, I'm judging me, it's not going to happen, because I'm in the judgment of it. I'm judging what is. So we have to look at everything from a very clear perspective, no matter what it is or who it is in our life. You know, it could be one of our children, just like Diana has, right? That soul contract that just happened to all come together now, because she's done enough work on it and has great awareness to what is, and is starting to see it and work through it, and boom, it's resolved, right? And now we can move on to something else. But if we're not looking at it from that perspective, we might not see it clearly. That's why earlier, when I was talking about, you know, what's taking place in the outer reality, everybody out there that's involved in something that we look at and go, I would never want to be involved in that. I would never want to go to war. I would never want to do this, right? They're involved in it for a reason. Their soul chose to incarnate into it for a reason. They need to experience it for a reason. And it's not ours to judge. We kind of have to let it go and let it be whatever it is. There's a shift that's going to happen through it, whatever that shift is going to be. But it's not for us to try and figure out. It's not for us to try and negotiate. We have to just hold divine neutrality to it. We're going to be on the center line of what is, and just, okay, this is what it is. I'm not going to have anything good to say. I'm not going to have any bad to say, because everybody has a point. Everybody is valid, right? Every perspective needs to be honored. Okay. And so if, you know, somebody says, well, what side do you want to win? Do you want, you know, Israel to win? Do you want Palestine to win? Do you want Russia to win? Do you want the Ukraine to win? I don't want any of them to be ahead of anybody else. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to stop dying. I want everybody to feel good about everything that's taking place in their life. I just want everybody to stay happy, to be happy, right? And they say, yeah, but that's not an answer. And I say, oh, I think that's a really clear answer of where I am. I'm not judging any of it. Everybody has a point. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody's opinion is respected. Everybody's position is acknowledged, right? None of that matters, because from every perspective, every single person that I'm talking about is a version of me, is a reflection of me in some way, shape, or form. They're all me, right? Because if you've listened to other talks that we did, every single person that you're encountering is another version of you, is another aspect of you that you are playing against in this holographic illusion. So when we're judging somebody else, we're judging ourselves. And the first person we're always judging is ourselves. You ever go into the parking lot and you like look at somebody and you go, oh my God, I would never wear that. How is she wearing that? Doesn't she see what that looks like? Like I can't, oh my God, you could see her underwear through those pants. Like what? She does not see that, right? But in the judging of them and you thinking like, why would they wear that? You're actually judging yourself. Right? And it could be any number of ways. Like she's got the guts and the nerve to wear those pants out and you can see her underwear through them. I wouldn't do that. Well, guess what? In that moment, you're judging yourself as not having the same balls as she has for going out there and wearing those pants, right? But do we often see it that way? No, we don't. We don't see it that way. We just see it out that like some crazy woman out there is wearing pants that you could see through and you see her underwear. And I would never do that. But yet, guess what? It's a self-reflection. It's a self-judgment that you would never do that, right? So when we stop and we really look at it and we look at that from the perspective of being present, witnessing the soul contract, because even that is a soul contract. That woman in that moment soul contracted with you to be walking across the parking lot so that you could notice her and have that experience with her. Now, was that a really deep soul contract? No, but it was a soul contract enough that her role in your life is one to get you to stop judging. And we have soul contracted with a bazillion people in our life that show up randomly everywhere we go that we interact with to get us to stop judging. Right? That is what's important here. Important to have an awareness of what is, okay? And remember, everything has a purpose. Everything has its place. Start this week for homework. Take a look at the people that are in your life that you're transacting on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about, you know, the passersby, unless you want to go that far out. That would, you know, that would be really helpful too, but you don't have to. Start with the people that are close in your life and see what you're playing out with that person. Is that person giving you their all? Is that person connecting with you, making you a priority, making you feel loved, making you feel good about you? If the answer is no, then they're teaching you about self-love because they're not giving you the love that you deserve. So your lesson there is self-love, self-empowerment. You don't need someone in your life that's not going to respect you offer you love and compassion, offer you their grace, right? So first and foremost, any relationship like that is going to be karmic in nature. You're going to be playing against the narcissist or the gaslighter, right? So we have to make sure that we're seeing what is playing out. What soul contracts are we opting out? What are we playing into? All right. And that's critical. If you start looking at that and start playing that out and start recognizing what you're interacting with, you're going to heal a whole bunch of stuff very quickly in your life. A whole bunch of stuff. Okay. Very important to have that kind of awareness. Anybody have any questions or anything they want to share? No, if you don't want to say it out loud, you can always type it in the chat. If you have a question, you don't want to come on and ask it, that's fine too. You know, we will play out the same soul contract over and over and over and over again, over and over again. If you don't learn from the one you're in, you're going to have someone pop up again and give you that same experience. I had that in almost every relationship that I engaged in, from my first relationship, which was my first husband, back in 1985. I think I was married in 1986. And then to my second husband, my third husband, and anybody that I tried to date along the way. And I only just healed that soul contract, that frequency within myself, I would say probably about a year ago. And it didn't happen through dating. It didn't happen through any of that, right? I was able to heal that soul contract. The more I self-empowered, the more I stepped into my own purpose, the more I chose me over something or someone else, the more I liberated myself from the thoughts and opinions of others, and the more I detached from social media, because again, that's a mechanism for measuring ourselves. It's a measuring mechanism where we can get caught up measuring against something else. And it just plays out to the self-contract of self-empowerment, self-love. Okay. So you're going to keep running up against people that are going to try and tell you how to do it, to tell you what to do. I know that there were times in the past I would post on where, like, you know, just come from divine neutrality. Be an observer to what is. You don't have to play into the heavy emotion, because when the emotion needs to come up, it will be triggered and it will come out, right? And then you might be in that moment where you'll need to spontaneously cry for a while, right? And that's okay. And boy, I triggered a lot of people with that post. I triggered a lot of people with those videos. It was like mind-blowing how many people I would trigger, right? And then I would see a whole flood of counteraction coming back at me going, you have to feel the inner child. You have to feel it all. You have to sit and cry it out. You have to sit in this. No, we don't have to do any of that. What we have to do is have to have awareness. We have to have awareness, and we have to have presence, and we have to acknowledge what is. Okay? We don't have to get all emotional to it. So if you can't get emotional, don't go out looking for something to make you emotional just so you can cry. Don't do that. You don't need to do that, right? Because these energies are so fast now. We're ascending so much faster. You might bypass a step that you no longer need, like the crying step. Okay. I explained to you yesterday, I saw the horse and he was narrating the video and I'm like, oh, what now? And I look and I'm like, oh, that poor horse. I sent to love. I was like, Hazel, I hold space for you for a safe passage and transition to the other side. May you be well and free of any pain. And, you know, I know that their winter is coming. She's an older mare, and the winters are brutal in his area, going down to sometimes 40 below. Okay. And I thought, how profound that she would depart now, because I see that happen a lot, especially with animals that are in her situation. And I was just focused on that. I wasn't even thinking about him. I wasn't even thinking about him. I was thinking about her. And I felt the emotion come up. And as it came up, I thought, surely I'm going to cry. One tear manifested. And as fast as it manifested, it was over and it was done. Right. And then I thought, wow, that was pretty good. We don't have to get that emotional to what is. We just have to be present for it. Okay. And soul contracts are all around us. And if you don't like the soul contract you're in, cancel, delete, and restore. I cancel, delete, and restore the soul contract with so-and-so across all time, space, dimensions, and realities. Good, bad, right, or wrong. Pod, point of all destruction. Pac, point of all creation. And so it is. Right. And you're canceling those soul contracts because you recognize them and no longer need them. It's what I did with Chester. And he was happy to go. Happy. Happy to be free. Happy. Because he was on a different soul path, a different journey. And it shifted everything in this household. And it shifted Bella. Shifted me. Right? Sometimes it's about self-preservation. All right. So if nobody has any other questions, I think we're almost at the 3 o'clock mark. I think we're going to end it here. Does anybody have anything they need to know? Everybody is good. All righty. I think we're going to say goodbye. So if you want to unmute and say goodbye, I'm going to say thank you so much for being here. Let me give you the next date, because I did change the dates to make it convenient for those who would like to attend two classes. Evenings are hard for some people to get to. If this impacted you negatively and you can't attend a class, please let me know and we'll manage the schedule differently. But the next class is going to be the Inner Healer Gathering, and that is on November 18th. And guess what? That's a Saturday. We're going to be meeting on a Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So if you are in Central, that's 10 a.m. Central. If you are in the Pacific time, I think that's at 7 a.m. for you. I apologize for the early time. But if somebody doesn't like that early time, you can just let me know, and the next one I will make a little later. I'm just trying to make it easier for everybody to be able to experience the classes at some point, because I know there were some people that couldn't get on any classes. Okay. So I want to make it a little more convenient. So thank you so much for joining. We are going to be skipping the heart with Loretta for December. We just had our November. Yeah. Is that right, Loretta?
Didn't we say December?
What day are we doing?
December 2nd on a Saturday, we're going to try at 11 o'clock.
Oh, you want to do that? Okay.
I had it in my phone. I thought that's what we thought.
Okay. If you want to do that, we can try for that date. Yeah. And see. Sure.
Well, maybe some
that would be a Saturday date too. Maybe it'll be easier for people to participate because right. If people are not showing up for it, and it's just me and Loretta, like it was one time. You know, I'm not going to continue it because it's not fair to her, and she's showing up for us. So, if you guys want to continue Heart with Loretta, you have to show up, okay? So that you can make this work, because I am giving up my Saturday hours because I do work and see clients on Saturdays. So this takes away from my Saturday schedule to do this. So I just wanted to to say that. Okay. So if you are wanting to do Heart with Loretta, please make sure that you are showing up, because we're putting this together for you. It's free. It's her time. We greatly appreciate Loretta for everything she offers us. And I am working to get those classes on Vimeo. I'm going to try to do that this weekend sometime, at least get a couple of the classes up. All right. And
the tentative subject matter is going to be painting the joyful, happy Buddha. So,
okay.
Just to let people know.
That sounds good. All right. So we will put that out in an email to you too. All right. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. I look
forward to connecting with you guys on Saturday the 18th. Enjoy whatever you're doing. Remember to stay present for your soul contract so you can see what's playing out in your life, in your reality, and where you're needing to shift in order to maximize your experience being you. All right? All right. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.